If you are politically correct or easily offended, move on to another show. But if you want to hear the truth, keep listening. Brothers at Arms starts right now.
When you're born in this world, you're given a ticket to the freak show. And when you're born in America, you're given a front row seat.
We gather tonight at a dramatic and deeply promising time in our history and in the history of man on Earth.
So they don't. Nobody wants to rock the boat. Nobody wants to change. Don't change anything. And we're in a nice downward glide. I call it circling the drain.
We reward stupidity in this country. We reward people with multi-million dollar TV contracts so that all the other stupid people can sit around and watch how stupid these people are. Stupidity is a virtue in this country.
These people are psychopaths to the worst order.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
You are listening to Brothers at Arms with Ira Robinson and Joe Long. This show airs Thursday starting at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on LateNightInTheMidlands.com. The cold hard truth has no fear on this show.
I think Americans have worked extremely hard not to see the criminality that their officials and their policymakers have exhibited.
Let's get ready to tell the truth.
Oh boy, here we go again.
Welcome to the Freak Show. Hello everybody, my name is Ira Robinson.
And this is Joe Long coming to you from the one and only Dungeon of Truth.
Welcome to Brothers at Arms, yet another edition of our wonderful weekly broadcast coming to you, not so live, not so in person, but hopefully in an entertaining way, in an informative way, and in a way that you guys will enjoy. Today we have a topic that is really important to both me and Joe. It's something that we talk about a lot together, and we definitely wanted to make sure that we talked about it on this show. Joe, what's our topic tonight?
Fear. The nature of fear.
Yes. The idea of fear, the nature of fear, what to do about fear. Because fear is a big thing in this world right now. Fear is everything. Fear is what they have been pumping into us since the moment of our conception. We're afraid of everything. Everything. And everything is designed to, I guess you could say, increase that fear.
Unless you're like me, who is absolutely fearless.
Well, there's a couple of things that you could be afraid of, but, you know, by and large, yes. People like you, people like me, we don't fear anything. And a lot of people kind of look at us cross-eyed because of that. But we have good reasons to not fear, I guess you could say. But before we get started, I wanted to make sure that you guys heard a clip that I have that I think really sets the stage for this conversation. So let me bring this to you. It's a couple of minutes long, but I think that it's really, really important. So here you go.
You know as well as I do that fear only exists for one purpose, to be conquered.
She tricked me.
Did she? Or was a part of you actually hoping to be defeated? Isn't that why you allowed Captain Janeway to come here? Because you sensed she had the power to subdue you?
No. She lied. It was very un-Starfleet of her.
Starfleet captains don't easily succumb to fear.
What will become of us? Of me?
Like all fear, you eventually vanish.
I'm afraid.
I know.
So that is one of the best scenes from Star Trek Voyager ever throughout the whole series. The man there is the embodiment, the personification of the emotion fear. And the fear emotion was so powerful that he was able to actually destroy people just through generating fear. And mm-hmm. Captain Janeway, who is played by Kate Mulgrew there, the female voice that you heard, is essentially, she tricks fear into thinking that she's going to be coming and coming into the hallucination that he's basically running and, succumbing to fear herself, but she tricks fear and, you know, basically defeats fear through being completely fearless. So, I think that sets the stage really, really well for tonight's conversation. And we're going to get into other topics as well tonight on top of fear, but you know, that's going to be by and large our main focus.
And just as a side note, I know that it pains you to play that particular clip because Voyager and Janeway, even though we are Star Trek fanatics, Voyager and Janeway was never really one of his favorites.
Well, that's actually not even one of my favorite episodes all around. I don't care for the episode a whole lot myself, but, you know, it is an important one. And like I said, I think that particular scene is one of the best scenes in Star Trek ever. I think it really, mm-hmm. you know, sets a really good idea into the mind of how you need to act about fear. So one of the reasons why we wanted to bring this topic up is because we got actually we were getting ready to do a recording for my show last night for Open Eyes, which if you heard the episode, hopefully you did. Joe was my guest on there yesterday.
And yes, I was.
So when we were sitting down to do the recording, right as we were getting ready to do it, and we were kind of discussing the topic of Brothers at Arms and the way that we wanted to, you know, present an episode of that. We were trying to kind of decide on the topic. And we started talking about fear and how maybe we could talk about that. And lo and behold, we ended up getting a phone call. And this call was from one of my longtime listeners who wanted to relay a story that she, you know, that had happened to her that night. And it was something that frightened her deeply. So she wanted to call to get some advice and just to kind of express, you know, hey, I know that you would believe me with this story because yes, I most certainly did. So the story is that as she was talking to somebody, she was talking to her boyfriend about some things and he brought up a topic to her and she was afraid to hear it. She knew that hearing the topic was a very fearful one. She didn't actually even tell me what it was, but she felt very afraid to even hear any stories regarding the topic because she was afraid that somebody would actually come after her and cause problems just for hearing about it all. And as she was relaying this message to him, you know, after she got done talking to him, she went to get something to eat. And when she got home, she was outside and she heard this weird loud buzzing noise. She said it sounded like, you know, multiple hives of bees that were flying around and maybe coming after her or whatever. And she couldn't figure out where the sound was coming from or what the sound was. And after a few minutes, she looked up and she saw that about 50 feet above her head mm-hmm. was a drone that was there. And she felt very afraid by this immediately, you know, knowing where it came from, why it was hovering over her. She was extremely fearful about it and understandably so, you know, there's definitely a good reason to be afraid there. So that was, you know, kind of, I guess you could say a synchronistic timing with everything because we were just discussing the topic of fear. And that being, you know, the topic of tonight's show. And then she ends up calling in with that just as we were getting ready to record our other show. So it was definitely an interesting, non-coincidental set of timings there.
Exactly. And she was very much freaked out. Very, very much freaked out by it. And as far as that, and what we told her was that's exactly what these Dark Masters want. That's exactly what they are trying to do, is quite literally check you out just to see who and what you are, and also to scare the living snot out of you.
It's their modus operandi. That is their go-to thing. They will do everything that they can do to place you into this state of fear, because then you're not going to be as likely to talk about any of your experiences to anybody else.
Exactly.
It's their go-to weapon, basically.
Mm-hmm.
They'll do that before they do anything to harm anybody, because harming people brings up too many questions. It leads to too many questions that then have to be covered up.
Too many questions, Mr. Wayne? Too many questions?
Yes. So that's what started off this topic. That's what kind of began us down the road to wanting to bring this topic to you guys. So let's talk about fear a little bit.
What is fear?
What is fear?
What is fear to you?
What is fear to me? Fear to me is the opposite of love. Just to put it plain and simple. The opposite of love is fear. Fear is what causes people to react in any way that's not of love. I basically boil everything down to two emotions, either love or fear. With love, all of the other emotions that could be considered to be positive come from. So happiness comes because you're loving something. You're so filled with joy because you love what is happening. You're loving this state of mind that you're in. Fear is the basis of all negative emotions. If you are angry with somebody, you are actually afraid of them. The anger is stemming from a fear. It's a reaction to the fear that you have of them. And most people will write that off. People don't recognize that, but that really is the case. If you're jealous of something, you are afraid that you're going to lose it. Or you're afraid that you're not going to get it if it's something that you're coveting, for instance.
Exactly.
So all negatives can be based on fear, and all positives can be based on love. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. You know, I look at things a little different than you do. I think that fear is a primal thing. It's a primal response.
It is, yes, but so is love. That let me get that out there too. You know, that is how I feel as well. It's very much on the baseline of everything that we exist with, you know. That's part of the duality that we have.
But fear is, to me, fear is, see, you're coming at this from a shamanistic perspective, which is understandable. You are a shaman. I come at it from a warrior's perspective. Fear is, when controlled, an extremely useful thing. When fear is mastered, when fear is conquered, it is that small voice that says you need to be on your guard. It is that ability to look at a situation and there's that little bit of fear, it's that voice that says, hey, something's not right. Be ready. But fear uncontrolled is panic. Fear uncontrolled paralyzes.
And it's hatred.
Yes. Racism, nationalism, which we discussed last night, is fear. Fear of the unknown, fear of what is different, fear. And we as human beings hate what we do not understand. We fear what we do not understand, and we fear what is different from ourselves.
Yes. You're right on the lines of what I'm talking about too. When I say that there's the positive and the negative emotions, just to make myself clear with things, because I know people might get confused with this, I don't consider either of them bad things. The negatives have a purpose and the positives have a purpose. There's a balance that needs to be maintained in the middle. And that's what you're discussing, that mm-hmm. fear under control, fear conquered, is useful. It's a tool. Just like all of our other emotions are tools. So don't get me mixed up when I'm saying, you know, that it's a negative. When I say that it's a negative, I just mean that it has that it's the opposing force, I guess you could say, of the balance. So, you know, again, kind of don't misconstrue me with that. I'm not one who's all about, you know, everything has to be positive. Everything has to be love. Everything has to be light. There's nothing wrong necessarily with thinking that way, unless you get into the more kind of new agey type of thinking where that is the end all and be all and all that kind of stuff. To me, that is doing everything a disservice, because there has to be a contrast in order to have, you know, an idea what the good stuff is, you know?
Exactly.
So, and that again falls into what you're describing there, that the fear conquered is that contrast. You can use it as a contrast to the things that you can love. Mm-hmm. You can't understand true love without first understanding true fear. Right. Exactly.
And I agree with that. I agree completely. Now that we've defined what fear is to us, and your definition of fear could be completely different than ours. And if it is, please let us know. Let us know. We would love to hear from you.
Yeah, absolutely. You can send it to feedback@openeyesnetwork.com.
Now we have to look at what can cause fear. And there's a lot of things out there right now that can cause fear. One of the biggest things, right, that most people are afraid of, death. The fear of dying.
Yeah, the fear of dying, I think, is the biggest driving force to everything that we do. I mean, religion is based upon the fear of death, just as a great example. All religions are based upon the fear of death.
And that was something, another kind of catalyst for this episode is a very good friend of mine, the mother of my daughter, her grandfather passed away on Sunday. And I informed Ira. And to us, death is not something to fear. It's something to celebrate. You celebrate the life of the person that has passed. Yes. Is it a sad thing? Yes. But you celebrate their life. And we were discussing how we wanted our own funerals to be, and laughing about it. You know, that'll tell you how much we fear death. We were laughing about our own funerals.
Yeah. I'll give a great example actually of somebody that did not fear death. My father, Ted.
Oh my God.
This man went through hell and back with his body. He went through multiple surgeries over and over and over again. He had almost every vein in his body replaced by pig and synthetic veins and on and on and on. It was a bad situation. If he didn't go to the hospital by ambulance one week, we celebrated. I mean, that was how bad things were with him. But at one point in time, he had a massive heart attack. And my then wife, now ex-wife, was with me when we went to the emergency room with him. And I bent down, gave him a hug, gave him a kiss, and you know, kind of held his hand a little bit. And then she bent down and gave him a kiss. And he said, ooh, wait, hold it right there. I've got a perfect view to take me home to God. Looking down her shirt.
That man was amazing.
But he had no fear. He really had no fear of it. I mean, when He was not religious up until about 20 years before he passed away. Up until that point, he was actually an atheist. And when he had a really major surgery, he had six bypasses done, and he was told that he'd have about a year to live from that point. And instead of being afraid of things, he used that year in some really dramatic and amazing ways. And once that year was done, he actually lived for another almost 20 years afterwards.
And I met this man, and he was one of the funniest, one of the most plain-spoken, one of the most... I mean, it's very hard to describe Ted Robinson.
Yeah.
I mean, the first day I ever met the man, he had never seen me before. I don't know if Ira had ever talked about me to him before, but I walked in, he looks me up and looks me down and goes, "I'm Ted Robinson." I said, "I'm Joe Long. Nice to meet you, sir." He said, "Nah, I'm either Ted or Dad." That's all he said. Then he looks me up and looks me down again and goes, "How tall are you, son?" I said, "I'm 6'5", sir." He goes, "I did not know they stacked horseshit that high." And I looked in bed. Yeah, I go, "And how old are you?" He told me. I said, "And I didn't know that horse shit that old could still stink." And at that, from that point on, he and I were the best of friends.
Exactly. He had a lot of respect for you because you got right back up into his face. But you see that he tested people with that kind of methodology. You know, that he figured if people got back in a joke with him, then that was the kind of person that he'd love to deal with. You know, if people got offended by that, he didn't want to have anything to do with them. And
it's, again, it comes down to fear. If you're afraid to throw something right back at somebody, that, you know, if they throw something at you and it was meant as a joke and you throw it right back, they're going to laugh about it. But if it was meant as a true insult and you throw it right back at them, it's going to stop them cold.
Right. Right. It's going to do what it was intended to do.
Let it fly.
Yeah. Yeah, never be afraid to speak your mind. Exactly. And so what I was going to say, though, too, is that when he lived for another almost 20 years afterwards, he said he had no fear of death because every year or every day, basically, that he had after that first year that he was told he would die, he figured he was given by God to do something good on the earth. And so that's how he lived his life. He lived it with that kind of attitude in mind. He had no fear of it. And I guess that's what brings me to the topic of the fear of death and why I don't understand why people who are of the religious frame of mind are actually the ones who tend to be the most fearful about death.
Exactly.
Because you would think if they were assured of their salvation or whatever the case may be, that they would actually be welcoming death, maybe not seeking it out, but actually, you know, embracing it for all that it is and just saying, "Yeah, okay, hey, I'm going to go meet my maker and everything's going to be great." It's the people who are the most assured about things in this life
that
are the most afraid of that death. You see, that's the weird conundrum that I see happening in a lot of people today.
Yeah.
What do you think about that, Joe?
I agree with you completely on that. I mean, I am without a doubt probably, and you'll agree with this, one of the least religious people you've ever met in your life.
Yeah, you're the type of person you walk into a Catholic church and it bursts into flames.
Pretty much, yeah. I have no fear of death. I know that I could wake up tomorrow, get dressed, head to work, and be run down by a runaway fruit truck.
We have both seen similar things happen.
Yeah. Or I could live to be 117 or 120 or 200 years old. It could happen.
And then get run over by a fruit truck.
Right. Or to quote Robin Williams from Mrs. Doubtfire, "Oh, it was the drink that killed him. Oh, he drank too much." No, he was run down by a Guinness truck. So it was literally the drink that killed him.
Yeah.
And knowing my luck, that would probably happen.
Yes, it would.
But, you know, my cousin, Michelle, And if you're listening, Michelle, remember, I love you dearly and I do respect you, but you are a very religious woman. And most religious people have this inane fear of death. They're obsessed with death. Where I am obsessed with life. I don't care what's going to happen to me after I'm worm food. Because whatever happens to me after this shell, after this corporeal being is pushing up daisies. You know, I've always told Ira, you know, plant me ass up so you have a place to park your bicycle at least. You know?
Yeah, I wouldn't mind. My thing is I want to be either cremated and spread on a nude beach or put into a pot, basically, and, you know, kind of plant me in the ground with a tree on top of me and let the tree get my nutrients. At least do something good with my body, you know?
You know, because knowing your luck, you will spread you on a nude beach and some fat guy in a Speedo will be the first thing it laid down. Me, I've told him, you know, as far as my funeral, I want a true druid funeral. You know, stack a bunch of wood up, toss me on top, light it up, have a big ass bonfire, and then have a party.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, so, I mean, the confusion that I have with all of it is that if you are a religious person and you are afraid of death, that's the time that you need to examine your salvation a lot closer, because it's your subconscious that's telling you, you got a problem.
Yeah, big time.
It's telling you you're doing something wrong that you're going to end up having to pay the price for. You know, that subconscious fear is there basically again as a tool to try to point out to you that there is an issue that needs to be worked on. But listen, we have to take a break. We're already quite a bit into this. It goes really quickly, Joe.
Oh, it does.
I'm afraid of it. So stick around with us, guys. We'll be back in just a few minutes with more of the fearful topics. Don't be afraid to hang out. We'll be coming back. Ben Franklin said, "If you do the same thing tomorrow as you did today, you're going to get the same tomorrow as you got today." Changing the world starts with you. And changing you starts with changing the way you think. Late Night in the Midlands can help. Listen to all of our shows at latenightinthemidlands.com, because things really do need to change.
The L&M Radio Network and Late Night in the Midlands depends on you, the listener. Without you, there would be no us. So help us continue to bring you the best guests with the best information and subscribe today. Information on becoming an L&M subscriber can be found at the top of latenightinthemidlands.com. Just click the About Subscriptions tab and become part of the family while helping the truth stay alive. And while you're at it, maybe subscriptions aren't for you. A one-time donation helps as well. Click that donate button on the right side of latenightinthemidlands.com and help us help you.
How do we draw the line between protection of national security, obviously the government's need to obtain intelligence data, and the protection of civil liberties, particularly the sanctity of my home? You've got no right to come into my home.
The government's been in bed with the entire telecommunications industry since the 40s. They've infected everything. They get into your bank statements, your computer files, your email, listen to your phone calls, every wire, every airwave. You're talking to your wife on the phone, you use the word bomb, president, Allah, any of 100 key words. The computer recognizes it, automatically records it, red flags it for analysis. That was 20 years ago.
Sooner or later, you have to bring in an element of persuasion, an element of getting people to consent to what is happening to them. We are in process of developing a whole series of techniques which will enable the controlling oligarchy to get people actually to love their servitude.
So I'll admit it. I'm a geek. I love anything science fiction or fantasy. I love to collect things that are related to the things that I like. There's a place that I go to find unique things. It's an Etsy shop that's called The Geeky Stitcher. They have some amazing and one-of-a-kind handcrafted collectibles on a lot of my favorite science fiction and fantasy-related shows and movies. You know, geek stuff. They have things like gloves that look just like the TARDIS from Doctor Who. They have crocheted figures from Star Trek, Disney movies, even Navi from The Legend of Zelda. They're all made with love, and they have a unique style, and best of all, they're cheaply priced. They'll even do custom orders. All you have to do is let them know what you would like to see made, and they'll get right on it. Check them out today at thegeekystitcher.etsy.com, or you can also go to their Facebook fan page, which is found at The Geeky Stitcher. Go there today. I'm sure you guys will find something that you would really, really love. Well, hello there. My name is Ira Robinson, and I want to welcome you guys back to Brothers at Arms. Thank you so much for sticking around through that break. You know, Joe, there is a book that's out there. I don't know if you've ever heard about it or not, but it's called The Harbinger. Have you ever heard of that one?
Yes, I have.
It was a New York Times bestseller for a really long time, and it was a really, really good book. I read it, and I really enjoyed it. There's a lot of stuff that's in it that's very... very interesting for today's times. And
I completely agree with you.
You know, according to the book, basically there were 9 different harbingers or omens that took place in Israel before the destruction of the country. And the author, I think his name is Jonathan Kahn. He's seen the exact same harbingers happen here in America, and he's trying to warn people about it, trying to get people to wake up to the things that he sees with it all. And, you know, the reason why I bring this up, if you guys go to a website, it's called audibletrial.com/openeyes. You can get the audiobook version of that book, and listen to his, he's actually the one that narrates it. And, you can get it for free. All you have to do is sign up for the free trial. It's, again, audibletrial.com/openeyes. And, I think that you guys would really enjoy it, but you know, if you don't want to do that one, there's hundreds of thousands of other books that are on there that you guys can take a listen to and hopefully really enjoy. It's a really, really good deal. I'll just put it to you that way. So, before we took the break though, we were talking about, fear. And the fear of death.
Lots and lots of fear.
Lots and lots of fear. And, you know, the Harbinger kind of fits right into that idea as well, right? Because,
oh, definitely.
You know, he sees these things. He's being afraid of this type of stuff coming down the pipe, basically. And he's seeing this and trying to warn people about it. So I just thought that was interesting, you know?
Yeah, I agree. And, I mean, you can't fear. You really can't. I mean, how many times have we said it on this show? Have we said it on Open Eyes that the biggest enemy that we have to face today is fear?
It's so prevalent and it's so easy to slip into a fear mode. And I think that's one of the reasons why it is such a potent weapon and why they use it to such great effect. You know, why these dark masters just love to use that weapon against us, because we are so easily afraid.
Oh yeah. Easily. I mean, I agree. It's just hard to not be some days because of the fact that they pump so much fear and so much hatred and so much anger out that it's very difficult to not become infected by it.
Well, you take a great example. This happened, what was it, last year when, well, no, I guess it was about 2 years ago at this point when they were trying to, pass the budget bill here in America. And they were pumping people full of fear over, oh, well, the Social Security is going to be disappearing. And if we don't get this to work, then people are going to lose their Social Security. They're going to lose their jobs. They're going to be this and that and the other thing. And they pumped America full of fear over it. But we have nothing to do with any of it. We can't control what Congress does. Hell, we don't even vote for who goes into place, regardless of what anybody actually thinks. we don't have anything to do with it. So why put that fear out into people? Why? Because it's a great distraction.
You know, I mean, they'll do anything and everything they can to distract us, Ira.
Yeah, because the more they distract, the less we pay attention to the things that they're doing behind their back. They're magicians. Okay. And I don't mean classic magician as in the idea of they're using magic to make things happen. They're the con man type of magician where they're using the most effective tool, sleight of hand. You pay attention to the left hand and you don't look at what the right hand is doing that's getting the ball out of the jacket and putting it into the hand.
Exactly. And that's exactly what they are doing. I mean, they are an illusionist, pure and simple. They're an illusionist.
One of the big things fear-wise that's starting to come around right now is the Jade Helm drills. Have you heard much about those?
Yeah, I think they're going to be running one down here.
Yeah, they're going to be primarily in the southern states, but they're doing it nationwide overall. Don't be fooled.
No, I think I received an email from my son's school and they were talking about a drill that they're going to be running here. And I didn't read all of it, but I think that's exactly what they're going to be running here.
Yeah. Okay. So with this drill that they're going to be doing, there's a lot of fear that's being pumped out into people right now. I mean, people are freaking the freak out right now over this Jade Helm thing.
Freakity freak freak.
Freakity freak freak. And they are, look, there's Walmarts. They closed down 6 Walmarts. Okay.
Just out of nowhere.
For bad plumbing, even though there's been no plumbing permits filed even though there's no reason, even though they could build a new Walmart in 6 months, okay, then there's no reason why it would take plumbing problems.
Oh, they closed it down because I know exactly why they closed it down, because the workers got a raise to $15 an hour. And well, this is Walmart's retaliation.
Yeah, the same stores that are closing are the same stores that they basically went union with last year. The whole protest stuff that happened last year, all of these stores are related to that, okay? So there's that. But people are freaking out because now what's being passed around the alternative news media is the idea that they're using these Walmarts as gathering places for the FEMA camps, and the Department of Defense is getting involved in it all, and all this kind of stuff. Okay. Now, I'm not discounting that as a possibility.
Ira, you know for a fact that we have a FEMA camp right here.
Yeah, it's like 10 miles away of where
we live.
Yeah, it's like 10 miles away from where I am.
Within a mile and a half of where you live, yeah. 20 miles from where I live.
Yeah. So, I mean, the Walmarts, though, look, they will use those as storage areas. They will use those as places for people to gather, you know, the quote-unquote shelter-in-place kind of places, okay? But the big thing right now is they're passing around this video that supposedly is from one of these shut down Walmarts. The windows are kind of blacked out. And this is, you know, secret footage basically that was recorded on an iPhone from the inside of one of these shut down Walmarts. And there's, you know, soldiers and blah, 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 all the way through it. Or at least what they claim. But people are standing in line. Okay? People are standing in line shopping. And if you were to deal, if you're dealing with a place that is right now shut down, top secret, classified kind of crap going on, you're not going to get in there with a cell phone. It's not going to happen. Okay.
No, it isn't.
So, you know, it's I think that is taking advantage of the fearful moments in people's minds, and it's people looking for hits either on their websites or on their YouTube videos. Because remember, people get paid for the views that they get on YouTube. And people get paid for the advertisements that's on their website. So the more hits they get, the more money they make.
Oh, of course, Ira. I mean, well, no, wait a minute. It's about money?
Yeah.
Oh!
But people seem to forget that, Joe. People seem to forget that when it comes to even in the alternative media, there's a monetary driving force behind it. Okay. I mean, even with my shows, I wouldn't mind making a buck off of them. Okay.
No, I know that.
So I'm not going to hide that. I'm not biting any bones about it. You know, hell, give me a couple of bucks. I'm doing this as a service, you know, but irregardless of all that, what I'm trying to drive at is that there are people that are out there that use this in a very, very big, prevalent way. Not just somebody that's saying, you know, hey, I'm putting this information out, and by the way, there's an advertisement here. No, they actually do things to foment the fear to drive the people into the advertising. And that is a really common thing to do. People are very good at marketing, and this is one way to do marketing. Okay. So when you guys are out there and you're seeing all this stuff going on, the first thing that you have to do is think of the first thing that they do in any investigations. Key bono. You ask that question. Key bono. Who benefits from this? So if they're putting out the fear stuff, are they actually benefiting by warning people, or are they benefiting through the monetary things that they're gaining by people going to their websites, clicking on ads, clicking on the YouTube videos to get the watch, you know, to get the view count? Is that the reason for it? You have to ask yourself those questions. And the answer to that question will lead you to whether or not what you're seeing is something that's real, or if you have to kind of walk away from it because you had just way too many questions in mind regarding it. So, Joe, go ahead.
Too many questions? Too many questions, Mr. Wayne?
Again.
Again. I mean, fear is such an aggravating pain in the ass thing to deal with. I'm sorry, it is. I mean, if you really look at everything that is entailed and everything that happens with fear, your blood pressure goes up, you start sweating. I mean, and these are just the physiological reactions to fear.
Well, what's the first thing that happens with fear? You start stressing out.
Right.
It increases the stress hormones, which we know scientifically decreases the brain size. It decreases the ability of the brain to function efficiently. People don't think as logically. They don't think as critically when they're under stress. And stress is directly related to fear. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Just had to throw that out there.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it goes back. When you experience acute fear and when you are in a fearful situation, you do not think cognitively. Your higher brain functions shut down. And you think with the most primitive parts of your brain, the reptile or the
lizard brain,
the hippocampus,
the hippocampus, the fight or flight response.
It is truly fight or flight response. And most people have been conditioned nowadays to flight into flight. Pure flight mode.
Yeah. When you take a look at everything that goes on right now in the world, people are being put into these fear states of mind to throw their rights away. That's the primary driving force with it. To essentially take their rights in their hands and say, take it. Just stop making me afraid.
Exactly. You know, and I quote a very great man of this country, Thomas Jefferson, who said, those that give up their rights, their liberties for security do not deserve neither liberty nor security. And if you're scared because of 9/11, if you're scared, which was a complete and utter lie, by the way, ladies and gentlemen,
sham,
you want to talk
sham,
about
sham,
a fear
lie,
tactic?
Lie. Sham, 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 lie, lie, lie.
You want to talk about in the last 20 years, the biggest fear tactic to be used was 9/11. They brought those buildings down specifically to scare not just a few people, not just a few hundred people, to scare the shit. And I will say that on air because it is what is needed to be said out of an entire freaking nation.
Out of the world.
Yeah.
You see now everything is referred to as the post 9/11 world. And in once in a while, I play a song that I made where I took footage from the GOP National Convention right after 9/11 ended up occurring. So it was in like 2004. And they pumped out constantly words, fear, 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 terror, 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 terrorism, 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 horrible death plots, horrific death camps, weapons of mass destruction, Saddam, Saddam, Saddam. Every one of those was a different one being said. There were no repeats in there whatsoever. And I turned it into like a 3-minute song, right? So
I've heard it. I've heard it. It's actually a good one.
It's, but that's how it is. That's what they do. They pump the fear into people as much as they can. What ended up happening right after 9/11? The Patriot Act was signed into place and people celebrated it. Even though the Patriot Act was written before 9/11 ended up occurring and they could not get it to pass because people were too up in arms about their rights being taken away. But after 9/11, oh, just take them. Just take them. Get them. I don't want them anymore. Make us safe. Now grandma's getting felt up in the airport. Our little kids are getting molested like crazy in the airport. They're now talking about putting the TSA into schools and on highways and all this kind of crap because we have to be safe. We have to get protected from the terrorists, even though our borders are wide the freak open and anybody can just walk right on in. That's not a concern. We're not afraid of that. That's okay. What we're afraid of is a kid carrying a pencil into school.
No, what we're afraid of is a kid carrying a Pop-Tart into school.
Yeah, a Pop-Tart shaped it like a gun. That is exactly a perfect example of the inanity and the asinineness of all of this stuff.
I like your Ira word from a couple of weeks ago when we were talking about the episode that you and I are going to do on Open Eyes about the Clintons. The asshattery of it.
The asshattery of it all. Exactly. Exactly. This is what we're dealing with. This is why we wanted to bring this topic to you guys, because fear is the biggest problem that we have in this world today. Everybody is afraid of everything, and we can't get away from it because everybody keeps trying to spread the fear. Look, like I was talking about earlier, with the example of the stuff that goes on in the alternative media and the fear stuff that they keep spreading around. If people would just take a common sense look at the stuff, just take a critical look at the stuff and say, is there a reason for this guy to be putting this information out or not? That would go a long way to getting rid of a lot of the disinformation that goes out. And we could maybe actually talk about the real stuff that's going on, because there is a lot of real stuff that's going on. Okay, so
there's a reason I was just laughing hysterically.
I know, because I mentioned the words common sense,
right?
That's why that we're having a severe lack of that in this country and in this world right now.
Common sense? I mean, come on, Ira, that hasn't been around for Christ, since I was born.
Well, it's a dirty word.
I think
word.
I was one of the last people to get it.
I mean, even Benjamin Franklin wrote common sense, right?
Yeah, remember? I kept a will in it.
Exactly. So, you know, I mean, that's what we have going on. The people, even the people who are waking up to things, still get still get trapped in these things that they put out as the honeypots, you know?
I will admit that there are times that, you know, I am all but fearless, ladies and gentlemen. But there are times that I get even caught in the trap of fear. And it happened to me a few weeks ago. And, you know, I am now stronger for it. I recognized it with the help of my brother and with the help of good friends and with the help of people that I love and that love me. I recognized it for what it was, and I'm taking steps to eradicate that particular fear from my life.
Yeah, see, you conquered the fear. What I'm trying to say is that I'm not saying that there are not things to be afraid of, okay? Please don't misconstrue what I'm saying with all of this. I'm not saying that there aren't reasons to be afraid. There most certainly are.
Yeah, if you see a guy walking down the street with a gun aimed at you, run.
There's a little bit of concern there. But you know, so I'm not saying that there are not reasons to fear. But what I'm saying is that when you look at the things that are going on, you can use some discernment and figure out whether or not what is being presented to you is something that is real or not. That's what's important. You have to learn how to discern. And most people don't do that. Most people they keep going from one thing to the next. It's an addiction. You know, I talk once in a while about emotional addictions. Fear is one of the most addictive emotions that there is because it is so potent and powerful. Okay. So people, they get addicted to the emotion of fear. They will move from, well, I'll give a great example that goes in the field that we talk about here, Joe. Mm-hmm. people are afraid of the end of the world. People are afraid that the world is going to come to an end. Okay. So they will hear a story from somebody being passed that says, hey, an asteroid is coming and we need to be afraid of it. And fear, fear, fear. So people will research that topic. They will get themselves afraid more and more. You know, that fear builds up and it gets into a big ball that's on the inside of them. Okay. And then the time comes when the fearful object is supposed to be coming in. So for that example, the asteroid, and it is 11 planetary distances away from the Earth. That's a long way away. There was absolutely no reason to be afraid there, right? So they get released. Oh, okay, everything is fine. But then a week later, 2 weeks later, another thing comes along that is something to fear. Oh, the world is going to end. This comet is coming now. Okay, we have to be afraid. So for months, they'll build themselves up. Fear, 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 fear. Everything, that every day, they're reading stories about this horrific thing that's coming along. The day comes along, everything's fine.
I'll give you a great example of that one, Ira. It happened about 14 years ago. Y2K. The whole damn world was supposed to shut down on that day, remember?
Oh, yeah. I worked for a company, actually, as their IT director. And one of the things that – one of the reasons why I was hired was to prepare them for Y2K.
Yeah, and when it came around, you know what happened to the computers that were not Y2K compliant? They went from 1999 to, I believe, 1970. Whatever the lowest number was on their computerized clock.
Yeah. Yeah. Nothing happened. And then
Microsoft released a patch not long after that to fix that.
Yeah. It's so do you see what I'm saying though? It's an addiction. They get addicted to that emotion of fear and they will do everything that they can to feel the fear until they get the release. And they keep going through this cycle over and over and over again. It's a drug. It really is. It's just like a drug. It's just as potent, if not more so, than any drug that's out there.
Oh, I agree. I agree completely with you.
I mean, I did a whole episode about that, guys. If you want to listen to it, it's in my archives at openeyesnetwork.com. I don't remember the exact episode number, but you can just do a search for emotional addictions and get a real good glimpse into exactly how it works and what you can do to get out of the emotional addictions. I highly recommend it. It's one of my best episodes. So with fear, like I said, it is one of the biggest driving forces behind what we see happening right now in the world. It is sort of the opposing force to what really needs to be taking place. We have all of this fear and they keep pumping us full of these stress chemicals in order, I think, to make the world more theirs.
Oh, definitely.
I talk sometimes about the energy vortexes and how they're created by the energy that people are putting out in one way or another. And I think one of the issues that we see happening is that they're actually trying to create a negative energy vortex to essentially bring about the world that they want us to be under. And we're just walking like lemmings right down into it, basically.
Do-de-do-de-do.
I mean, that's what I see happening. I don't know if you do or not, but
I truly actually do agree with you. I mean, they want fear. They want, because people that are afraid will do anything that they can to become unafraid. And that means they will follow whoever they need to. They will do anything and everything, including giving up everything they own to end the fear.
It becomes a Stockholm syndrome too, I think. People get so used to the fear. People get so entrained into being afraid that they get defensive when anybody comes along and says, hey, you can get out of being afraid. Mm-hmm. They lash out at people like you and me who are out here talking about this stuff. You know, I mean, I know I've seen this in my life. If I talk to somebody about the truth of stuff and I try to point out, hey, you don't have to be afraid. This is the way that things are.
Mm-hmm.
They get negative with me in a big way. You know, sometimes
my ex-wife used to do it all the time.
Yeah. They'll sometimes even get violent about their defense of, we have to be afraid, you know? And it's like, you don't have to live this way. We can change things.
Like I said, my ex-wife did it all the time. We'd try to explain to her the truth of a matter, and she would literally get ultra defensive or ultra mad almost immediately. If you remember.
Oh, yeah, I do. Definitely. I mean, I had many arguments with her about it all, trying to get her to see reason with it all. And, you know, I guess, again, that's one of the reasons why the Dark Masters play this game the way that they do. You know, the Georgia Guidestones, I think, were actually put out there just to make people afraid. Mm-hmm. You know, not that they're necessarily even going to do anything about it, but just to keep people into that fear mode and distract it away from the actual things that are going on. Like the fact that they're building an ark of seeds, you know, the seed bank and the DNA and all that kind of crap. Mm-hmm. They're building these things all over the place. They're building massive tunnel systems underneath our feet right here and right now with these huge military bases underneath the DUMS, which a better acronym has never been done. The deep underground military bases, you know, they're doing these things as a way to run and hide when the time comes, when they're ready to pull the trigger on whatever it is that they've got designed to go on. These are the things that are going on. The fear is there to distract away from all of these other things that are going on. Like I said, this whole Jade Helm thing going on, mm-hmm. with the Walmart story being passed around. Okay. This story is now distracting away from the other issues that are happening right here and right now. For instance, just as an example, Hillary Clinton,
Hillary
is
Hillbilly.
Doing the whole announcement. She's pushing for the presidential run. Okay. But according to the US Code 18, Section 2701B, any federal employee who destroys either knowingly or unknowingly any kind of federal documentation is subject to fine, imprisonment, and is exempted from holding any further political office or federal office. But nobody's talking about that because they're too...
of thousands.
Yes.
Of emails.
And Trey Gowdy comes out and says, we don't have the authority to subpoena her servers. Well, then why the hell are you being put in charge of the investigation? These are the things that are going on that they try to distract away from. Okay. These are the issues that people are trying to distract away from. Yes, there is problems going on. Yes, there is something suspicious going on with the whole Jade Helm thing. Yes, there is this stuff going on. Yes, they do pull false flags all over the place. And that is another thing that they distract away from with all of this.
Oh, definitely.
Nobody's talking about Sandy Hook being a complete lie. Nobody's talking about 9/11 being a complete lie. Nobody's talking about the Boston Marathon being a complete lie. All of this stuff is going on. All of this stuff is there. All of this stuff is real. They're not talking about Benghazi. They're not talking about on and on and on and on. But they're talking about, oh, Jade Helm, we have to be afraid of it. Why? There's been no proof that anything is going to be going on yet.
Exactly.
You see what I mean? Until it happens, don't worry about it. concentrate on what is actually really happening right now. Right here, right now. You
right
see what I mean?
Right now.
That's what's important, but that's what's being distracted away from.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm trying to call attention out to with all of the shows that
I do.
You know,
you see something like 9/11. You see something like Sandy Hook. You see something like the Boston Marathon bombing. Don't be afraid. Do not fear that, because that is something, especially with something like the Boston Marathon bombing. You know how many people were actually hurt in that bombing? None.
Yep.
Zero.
Not a one. But do you know what happened after the bombing took place? The entire city of Boston was locked down, soldiers going from house to house to house, searching houses, people bending over upside down and backwards saying, "Ram it right up there, Mr. Soldier." That's what happened. Why? Because they were put into fear.
Exactly.
That's the purpose of this stuff.
The soldier would have said, "Hey, do you have a gun? Yeah, give it to me." Okay, here you go.
That's the purpose of this stuff. Katrina is another great example of it. Okay. Hurricane Katrina. What was the first thing that they did? Instead of actually coming in and helping people out, they sent soldiers in to collect all the guns from people.
And they gave them up.
And they gave them up willingly. And then what happened? People got screwed.
Oh, yeah.
You see, that's what fear does.
There's a quote by Ronald Reagan, which I wish would be in our opening. And if you can ever find it and put it in our opening to go along with the one that is already there from him, is a very apt thing. Six scariest words you'll ever hear. I'm from the government. I'm here to help.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
And
I thought about
using
that one.
Direct quote, Ronald Reagan.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Well, listen, guys, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to touch a little bit more on this topic, and we're going to get into a couple of other topics as well. So be sure to stick around. Don't be afraid.
Nope.
Don't be afraid. This is a great conversation tonight, Joe. Thank you so much for being here with me.
Oh, no problem. Always.
Stick around, guys. Be right back. Fear. Why aren't you afraid? Fear it all.
You are not afraid. There must be something wrong with you. You're a conspiracy theorist.
Here, have some drugs. You're laughing too much.
Here, we have this drug developed that actually stops you from laughing.
Oh, there's side effects?
Well, here, have some more drugs to counter those side effects. Now, don't worry, that side effect drug itself might kill you or make you bleed from your anus, but that's okay. Now you're normal. Now you're conforming. Good little minion. You will do well in the new world that we're creating. Oh, you don't like that thought? Here, have some more. Oh, this one is waking up a little bit. Here, watch Nicki Minaj's new Anaconda video. It's totally original, except for all of the parts that have been rehashed from other songs from before. Watch the video. She's shaking her butt. Isn't that enticing? Oh, now you can join the other 250 million people that have watched this video in the past 2 weeks since it was released.
Do you see they love to distract, to pull you away from the deeper thoughts, from the things that they know would end them in a heartbeat? They don't want us to know these things. They've been doing it to us since the beginning. The Late Night in the Midlands Radio Network is deeply devoted to you, the listener. We feel it is necessary to bring you all of the information that you can use in your life. Each and every day, you will find something to listen to here. And whether you come away from the shows informed, inspired, or entertained, it is our passion. We don't bow to corporations, and we don't have handlers to tell us what not to talk about. We bring you everything. Late Night in the Midlands, however, is fully listener-supported. We need your help to stay on the air and to make sure that we get the bills paid. We need your help to keep the truth alive. If you feel that you have gotten anything out of Late Night in the Midlands, we would appreciate your support. You can become a subscriber and help us out on a monthly basis, or if you'd like, a one-time donation is fully appreciated as well. Every year, the average household in America spends over $3,000 on entertainment alone. If you could help us with just a tiny fraction of that amount, you would make all of the difference. Go to latenightinthemidlands.com and click on the subscribe button. Thank you, and as always, keep yourself informed. Fear. There is always so much to fear. So many shadows are just waiting for the moment for when we pay no attention at all. Just waiting for the moment when they can grab us and make us come undone. Fear takes, and fear gives nothing in return. But there is one gift in this life that fear is afraid of. The gift of love. Reach out for someone today. Fear nothing, for fear is nothing. Live hard.
If you find yourself angry over the wealth gap and the way the financial system and banks are set up, or you find yourself looking for non-genetically modified foods because you refuse to consent to being a science experiment to Big Bio and Big Chem, or perhaps you have abandoned your trust in government and religion altogether, then you might be an RDS, a radical danger to society, otherwise known as a terrorist. Other possible terrorist activities include, but are not limited to, taking pictures, coughing, sneezing, wheezing, smiling, not bathing, listening to the secret teachings, asking questions to authorities, distrusting authority, owning a gun, reading history books, reading non-Keynesian economic books, listening to Late Night in the Midlands, turning off your television, going outside, water purification, having goosebumps, laughing, wearing jeans, purchasing ammunition, purchasing medical supplies, listening to open eyes radio, purchasing bulk food, noticing geoengineering trails, refusing to pay back your student loans, informing others, breathing, listening to the Red Pill reality show, blinking, thinking, farting, choking, and sleeping. Other forms of terrorism include disassociation with all political parties, protesting, freely speaking your mind, freely expressing your opinions, and in some cases that are extremely severe, paying with cash, being concerned about food, water, vaccines, and believing that the medical industry and military run tests on unsuspecting citizens regardless of the evidence to prove its existence. If you don't want to be an RDS, a radical danger to society, then turn on your television, get a credit card, buy the 13th season of Honey Boo Boo on Blu-ray, get fast food for dinner, and stop purifying your water and looking for clean food, or you may be diagnosed with orthorexia nervosa too. For more ways to become an RDS, a radical danger to society, simply tune into the LNM radio network now 24 hours a day.
Thank you.
Well, hello there, everybody. Welcome back to Brothers at Arms. My name is Ira Robinson, and I'm here with Joe Long, as always. Joe, have you gotten your 13th season of Honey Boo Boo on DVD yet?
Okay, I was wrong. There is one thing I'm afraid of.
Honey Boo Boo?
Uh-huh.
So are you a radical danger to society then?
Abso-freaking-lutely.
You're a terrorist?
Oh, absolutely. Because if I could, I would find and bomb whoever put that little foul-mouthed creature on the TV. That little girl I can tell you exactly what Honey Boo Boo needs. She needs to be taken over somebody's knee and have her butt warmed up every time she opens her mouth.
Well, you know, speaking of that and speaking of terrorists in general, I have a clip for you from Pat Robertson.
Oh, boy.
Talk about a segue, right?
Oh, boy.
Got your duct tape ready?
Oh, yeah. Refilled it after last night's episode.
All righty. So this clip is from Pat Robertson. For those of you who don't know, he's the one of the head people over at the 700 Club, and he's always spouting off one thing or another, and I like to use him as a great example of how not to be a Christian. He's the best example I can give of how not to be a Christian. So let me play this clip for you. Let's see what you think about this.
My son is 11, and he's recently started listening to music that speaks of the beast within and the infection in people. And it's almost come to the point of me giving up trying to parent him. He's constantly mean and nasty to us, and I worry for his soul. I'm not going to give up on him, and I know the Lord's going to save him. But what can I do to help him become a nicer person and the sweet little boy I miss so much?
Well, I tell you what you can do. Recognize he's going into puberty and he's got all those issues. I mean, some psychiatrists say, oh, remember, he's got puberty issues. But it doesn't hurt to smack a little 11-year-old around a little bit and say, look, kid, I'm your parent. You behave. You're not going to listen to that garbage in my house. If you do, I'm going to tear it up and break those records. I'm not going to, or CDs or whatever.
iPods, whatever.
You know, yeah. iPod or however you get that mess.
I mean, he's only 11, so.
I know he's only 11. He's just a little twerp, and you make that little twerp behave. He's your kid. He's just a little boy.
Yes. Removing privileges, too, because an 11-year-old can't drive, so they can't go anywhere without you.
You do. I don't know what his privilege is, but the thing, there's a lot of evil in the world, and you have to protect kids from evil, and you've got to do it any way you want to. But look, little kids, little boys, I guess you act like you're a single woman, and they'll take advantage of you because they figure if there was a man in the house.
Well, she says he's constantly mean and nasty to us. And so,
Well, then daddy had better get in there. Little kid wouldn't do that with me, I promise you. Okay. Little kid.
Charge your iPods. Yeah.
Big daddy's home. What?
Right.
Okay. All right.
That explains a lot.
I love how at the end she's all like, that explains a lot right there. I mean, you know, she's obviously seen a little bit too much of, old Pat. So,
first of all,
let me
Pat
hear your
Robertson
comments.
Needs
yeah.
to just retire because he is obviously old and senile.
Well, he's 85 at this point, right? He was born in 1930.
Yeah. And, oh, it's all right to smack a little boy around a bit. Huh? Oh, boy. You know, yes. The kids entering puberty, and kids nowadays are entering puberty earlier and earlier. Does he need discipline? Yeah, and you don't just give up on them. You never give up on your kids. I don't care how screwed up they are. And, you know, this woman, fearing for her soul. Fear, fear, fear. Fear, fear, fear,
yeah,
fear, fear.
Exactly.
This is what I heard. Wah, 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 fear. Wah, 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 fear, fear. Wah, 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 wah,
well,
fear, fear.
You see how they always blame the music on stuff. They blame the music. They blame video games on the problems. That those are
movies.
What is the
they
problem.
They blame television.
Those are the problem. It's a kid. It's a kid expressing his individuality, and he's trying to basically act rebellious because that's what they do. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what they do at 11, 12, 13 years old.
Wait a minute. I've got a record here. Yeah, you know, Freddy is a devil. Freddy is a devil. Ah, nee, 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 nee.
the problem that I saw in there too is that he's like, there's a lot of evil in this world. Yeah, you're one of them. Anyways.
I was thinking the same thing.
Every time I look at Pat Robertson, all I can think of is lizard, lizard, lizard. If there are reptilians around, he's the head reptilian around there. I'm telling you. Anyways,
no, Bush is.
So the thing though that I have is the takeaway from this is that disciplining your kids is different than smacking your kid around some, you know? And obviously he comes from an era where that was okay. You know, it's not okay. We've found other ways to do things. It's not okay to just smack your kid around just because they listen to the music that you don't approve of. Okay. That's not a reason to beat your kids.
No, there's just no
being reason. Honey Boo Boo is a reason to beat your kids, but inappropriate music is not a way to beat your kids.
Even being Honey Boo Boo isn't a reason to beat your kids. I didn't say I'd beat her. She needs to have her butt warmed up. Yeah. You know who needs to be beaten? Her mother.
Yeah. Yeah. She needs to be taken out to the woodshed a few times. Yeah. So the question is then too, okay. And, well, I guess it's not really a question, but more of a statement. This is what I've found over the years when it comes to parents, especially those who are very religious, okay? When you raise your kids up in a very religious environment, it gets to the point where they have to rebel against it. It's like the idea of, you ever see Family Ties?
Mm-hmm.
The show Family Ties.
Yeah.
Alex P. Keaton in it, right? Alex exactly. Keaton is this highfalutin Republican hoity-toity kind of guy, but he has these super religious or super liberal parents, and he's like hippies. Rebelling against them, you know, in order to get up
right.
There.
I mean, you got Michael Gross, who played the dad, and
Meredith Baxter Burney.
Right, who played the mom, were – you know, 60s, you know, liberals, they still had the whole liberal agenda. And then you've got Michael J. Fox, who is the biggest conservative on the planet.
Yeah. And like I said, it's an act of rebellion. Whatever you do, your kids are going to rebel against, and they're going to go in the opposite direction. I raise my kids up by seeing how I am so that I can have them be not me.
Being you is not a completely terrible fate.
Yeah, but you get my point. It's the idea that if you are somebody that's hyper religious and you've raised your kid very, very sheltered, the first thing that they're going to try to do is to become unsheltered. It's just the way it is. I like the idea of the Amish. You had brought that up in a show not too long ago. When the Amish reach a certain age, they are actually sent out into the English world to experience whatever it is that they want to experience so that they can not only have that act of rebellion, basically, and get it out of their systems, but so that they can decide that the way of the Amish is actually the way that they want to be. And I think that that is a great way to do things. It is the smartest way to do things is to let your kids express themselves however it is that they want to express themselves without – you know, within the limit of them not harming themselves, essentially, you know, right. that's what it comes down to. If they're expressing themselves and they're not hurting themselves or anybody else, let them do it. There's no exactly. reason not to. If you truly have instilled your values into them, they're going to come back to those values. It just is how it is. Okay. So,
I mean, somebody like the Amish this. That go out, the Amish youth that go out for the Rammstein, 95% to 98% of them come back.
Yes, exactly. They come right back to their roots, and that is right there proof of what I'm saying. You know, it's proof in the pudding. You let your kids be how it is that they're going to be. Let them express themselves. And if you have instilled values into them that are valuable to them, then they will come right back to them. Mm-hmm. It's the idea of kids being raised up very sheltered, You see this a lot. Kids get raised up very, very sheltered. Sorry about the noise there. My cat was playing with a bag. They get raised up into this sheltered environment. Okay. They're not allowed to express themselves. They're not allowed to watch movies, TV shows, on and on and on. Not allowed to date, not allowed to go out with friends. They go to school, they come home, they're stuck in their room, basically, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so what's the first thing that ends up happening when they go to college?
Boom.
They go buck wild. They go absolutely insane, and they are completely unprepared for the world. And most of them are destroyed because of it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. I mean, I was in college for 2 years, and I bartended a lot of parties. And you know who the frat boys would target first and foremost? Freshmen. Young freshman girls.
Because they know how it is.
And the ones that would turn them down and say, no, I'm going to study. They knew. They came from – they almost had a sixth sense of which ones were ready to just pop. And they're the ones that you see on these college websites that, you know
– And the girls gone wild thing?
No, not the girls gone wild. I mean, I'm talking the full-on hardcore – group sex sites that are coming out of colleges nowadays. And what these girls are not remembering is once that hits the internet, you're not getting it back.
Yeah. I actually did an episode about that not too long ago called Your Life is Online on Open Eyes. I covered exactly that. Whatever it is that you put out on the internet, it's there forever. No matter what you do, you are not going to take it back. So don't ever put anything on the internet that you don't want to have around. It's exactly. Just the smartest way to do things. Look at us.
So we're putting out this show. Now, we could stop broadcasting our shows tomorrow, and the old ones are going to be around for time immemorial.
Yeah, they're here forever. Exactly. So, you know, the thing that I want to bring up, too, with relation to that Pat Robertson clip is – the idea that I see a lot in those who are in this kind of hyper-religious mindset, that they, for some reason, think that the best way to spread Christ is through violence. And you see this all over the place. But when you get down into the actual biblical scriptures of things, they're as anti-Christ as you can get.
Yeah. You know, they come back to spare the rod, spoil the child.
Which is Old Testament.
Exactly.
Which has nothing to do with Christ.
Nope.
No matter what people might try to claim otherwise, the God of the New Testament is not the God of the Old Testament. Flat out. They're completely different people. And Christ, although he said that he was there to fulfill the law, did not ever advocate violence in any way. The opposite, in fact. So when you
love
see,
thine enemy.
When I see people who are out there that claim to be Christians doing things that are as anti-Christ as they can be, I have to call them out on it. You know, I do, because if you're going to be a thing, be a thing, you know. But they always listen to their preachers.
Go to the party as well.
Yeah, that's exactly how I phrase it. You know, they listen to their preachers who try to say that these are the ways that you're supposed to be. You get special dispensation to beat your kids. You get special dispensation to go out and act violently against gays. You get special dispensation to go out and kill blacks and on and on and on. These are things that have been a thing. And it's because of the religiosity of it all, you know? So again, though, the whole religion thing comes back to fear.
Oh God, yes.
I mean, you become religious because you're afraid of what's going to happen to you at death. People make you afraid, you know, taking Christianity as an example with it. They try to say, well, if you die without being saved, you're going to go to hell. Well, immediately that puts that fear, that is fear propaganda. Okay. But there was nothing in the Bible. If you actually read the texts, there's no hell existent in the Bible. None.
You're being an RDS, Ira.
I know.
It's again, what you're saying is against the well of truth.
I know.
Google's going to come for you.
Google's going to come at me. Yeah, I know. But it is the truth. Whether people really want to believe it or understand it, that is actually the truth. When you read the text, there's no concept of hell within the Bible. None. Regardless of whatever your pastors try to tell you, regardless of what the apologists out there try to say, there's no concept of hell within it. And you can go into my archives on openeyesnetwork.com, go to my Hellish Doctrines archive, and you guys will see and hear the proof of that. But if you want to ignore it and listen to your preacher, go ahead. But the truth is opposite of that. The truth is, the people out there, and I'm not saying all, but I'm saying a good 90% of the people that I've ever encountered in my life that claim to be Christian are as antichrist as you can get.
Oh God, yes they are.
I've known many people over the years who have tattoos and piercings, and they're the greatest, most wonderful, giving people that you could ever imagine. But the most judgmental, harsh people that I have ever met in my life are Christians.
Oh God. I agree. And I can tell you, I lived in Louisiana for about 4 years. And when I was down there, I ran into the most judgmental, the most harsh group of Christians that I'd ever met. You know who they were?
Let me see here. Would that be the Southern Baptists down there?
Oh, no.
Or would that be the Pentecostals?
That would be the Pentecostals.
The Pentecostals. Yeah, I figured it was one of the two.
I mean, the church that the Pentecostals had in Alexandria, Louisiana, where I lived. Most churches are the first blankety blank of Christ, or the first
blankety blank of muckety muck.
Exactly. You know what the Pentecostal church was? The Pentecostals. And big, 6 foot letters along the side of the frickin' church. Just the Pentecostals.
Yeah. Yeah, which is another thing that's as anti-biblical as you can get. That's as anti-Christ as you can get, because what did Christ say? He was very against those who act pharisaical, those who act in judgmental ways, those who act in ways that call attention to their spirituality. Anybody who calls attention to their spirituality like that is not spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
That was his point with it all. If you go out and you pray like the Pharisees do, with trumpets blaring and bowing and scraping, they have their reward. They have the attention of the people. That's their reward. But what you should do is go into your closet and hide in the closet in the darkness and pray there, and don't let anybody hear your prayers. That's as anti-Christian as you can get.
Mm-hmm.
What I mean, you see these mega churches that are out there that have tens of thousands of people coming in every Sunday to come in and scream and holler and sing and dance and on and on and on and give their testimonials, and afterwards get together for fellowship where they get together and gossip about everybody that's around them. That's Christian.
I don't need to go to a building once a week to compare clothing.
That's Christian, but that is not Christ. You see, there's a big difference between the two.
I agree. And again, it comes down to one simple word. Fear.
Exactly. It's all about fear.
I went to one service, because I had a friend of mine who was Pentecostal. She was actually the preacher's daughter. And believe me, the stories I could tell, whoa.
Got to keep it PG.
Oh, believe me, I am. Believe me, I am. The stories I could tell, though, about the preacher's daughter.
A rated R story made PG.
Ira, you've heard some of the stories I told you about the preacher's daughter in Louisiana.
Moving on.
That girl definitely knew the, definitely had the Christian spirit. Very giving soul, that one was.
Anyways.
But, I went to one service one time. And the preacher was up there, fire and brimstone and hell and damnation and fear and loathing, and then pass the collection plate.
Sounds like the average Southern Baptist Sunday morning.
Well, Southern Baptist isn't off, you know, it's Pentecostal and Southern away. Baptist are offshoots of the same branch.
Yeah, I know.
Just the Pentecostals are a little more radical, are a little more fanatical than the Southern Baptist. Because at least Southern Baptist women, they wear makeup and they can cut their hair. Pentecostals, uh-uh.
Well, most. It depends on the denomination. You got to remember, there's over 35,000 different denominations of Christianity alone in the world right now.
Well, most Pentecostals, you know, it's the whole horror thing, horror and Jezebel thing.
Well,
Bible or something like
well,
that.
Well, the Pentecostals, I mean, a lot of the things with the Pentecostals is that they advocate that you have to be filled with the Holy Spirit in order to be saved. You have to then prove that by, you know, doing any of the spiritual gifts that you're given by the Holy Spirit, like speaking in tongues and prophesying and on and on and on. All of that is part of the Pentecostal mindset. Believe me, I've been through the Pentecostal mindset before. And so
I'm still just trying to figure out what's up with the no makeup, the long hair and the skirts.
Well, that's all part of the Pauline writings, the writings of Paul, who said that, you know, women have to be exactly this. Don't, you know, don't make yourself up and don't cut your hair. You know, doesn't nature even say that a man with long hair is an abomination, but a woman with long hair gives her raiment and blah, 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 blah. Anyways, so.
You're the one that knows the Bible backward, forward, and sideways, not me. Now, I will say this. The best time I've ever had in a church, and I am not a Christian, ladies and gentlemen. I am a druid. I am anathema to most Christians. But there was a lady I worked with down there who went to a black Southern church, a Southern black Baptist church. And she said, you come to my church one time and the Holy Spirit will get you. I'll tell you, there was something that got me. Those people, that congregation knew how to make a joyful noise.
Over and over again.
No, I'm talking about the singing.
Oh, I know.
Oh.
I've been to many of them.
That was one of the most enjoyable times I've had at church. The preacher was not fire and brimstone. He was hope and light. It was... Yeah. You know, all about helping each other.
Yeah, and they're very
the Holy
much
Spirit,
more.
And the choir will now sing, and they'd break into some of the best music I've ever heard.
Well, they're very much more about being kind of in line with the tenets or the ideals or the way that Christ himself preached, the way that he talked, and that sort of thing. They really do tend to ascribe more towards that than the more Pauline type of hellfire and brimstone type of writings. So that alone, I give them props for. You know, I mean, to me, again, look, when it comes down to it, and I've said this many times, if you're going to be religious, but be whole hog. Actually do the investigations, do the research for yourself, and decide whether or not that religion is truly what you want to believe in or not. Do the actual context of the scriptures, you know, read the original words with a dictionary there, you know, like a Strong's Concordance or something to help you with the Hebrew or the Latin or the Greek. Actually read the original texts, because a lot of times what happens is the words get radically changed based upon who's translating them and at the time that they're translated. I'll give a great example. In the book of Acts, it talks about it uses the phrase to fetch a compass. Now, when I say that phrase to you, to fetch a compass, what do you think that it means, Joe?
Go get a device. It'll point me north.
That's how we understand it today, right?
Or go get a device that I can draw a circle with.
Okay. So during that time period of the writings of the Book of Acts, to fetch a compass, the phrase, meant to walk around in a circle. To walk a circuit. So do you see how understanding the context of the writings of the time makes a radical difference to how things get interpreted?
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the things that I try to advocate when I'm talking about this stuff, to remind people that context is so critical. A lot of these texts, no matter if it's Christian writing, Muslim writing, Hindu writing, Buddhist, whatever it is, these texts were written for specific people at specific times and in specific places. And when you read them in our modern day and age, they take on a completely, radically different meaning.
Yes, they do.
And it usually is of an opposing type of a view, if you want to come down to it.
True.
So that alone should tell people, hey, maybe context is something that we should pay attention to. I mean, it's just like people take the idea of Sodom and Gomorrah being listen, let me ask you this. If you hadn't heard this before, why do you think that Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed by God in the Bible?
Because they were evil and wicked.
But what made them evil and wicked?
I don't know. Like I said, you're the biblical scholar, not me.
Well, I know, but you've heard the talk. I know you've heard the talk.
Not really. If I have, I've forgotten it.
Okay. Well, most people, I mean, by and large, people out there think that Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed because it had gay people in it. You know, that's where the whole word sodomy comes from.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The problem is, that's not why it was destroyed. And the Bible itself says why it was destroyed. The Bible says that Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed because they were inhospitable, because they were not nice to the strangers who came and visited.
Hmm.
And then you take into context what people say Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed for, that it's because it had gays in it, and so they are inhospitable to gays because of it. And you start to get a clarity of maybe why this country is going to hell in a handbasket.
If you believe in God.
If you believe in the stories, yes. But do you see my point with it?
Oh, yes.
That context is really important, right? It's just like, again, you know, and I don't mean to belabor the gay thing, but I just use this as a great example because, you know, it's so perfect, you know? The different abominations that are listed in Leviticus, people always point to, you know, a man lying with a man or whatever, blah, 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 is an abomination, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, the actual context of things is that there are different types of quote unquote abominations in the Bible. There are the Toeva abominations and there are the Zema abominations. The Zema abominations are the ones that are the extreme moral sins, like murder, stealing, that kind of thing.
Right.
Those are very, very moral outrages. Okay.
And they're nobody's supposed to do.
Right. Toeva sins or abominations are other things that make you ritually impure. And they were only applicable to the Levite priests because they were the ones who would go into the Holy of Holies and be in the presence directly of God, at least again, according to the stories. So the Toeva ones are where these other things like shellfish eating and the wearing of two different types of fabrics and the lying with a man and blah, 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 blah. All those things that are abominations that are there, those are Toeva. Those are the ones that made them ritually impure. And the Leviticus priests were told not to do them because then they would be killed in the presence of God because of these, you know, things being impure.
Yeah, exactly.
But they were not moral abominations. They were not Zema sins. You see? Does that make sense?
Makes a lot of sense.
So those are where the problems that we have now come in with the whole religious thing, with the whole fear stuff. They don't understand the contexts of the writings. They don't understand the actual baseline of where the things were.
No, they're making the Bible fit what they want it to say.
Yes, exactly.
And they want it to say fear, 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 fear. Fear. Hair, you're going to hell.
I'm sure people out there right now are saying that that's exactly what's going to happen to me, but I'm not afraid.
Us. And, you know, it's like, oh, well.
I'm not afraid of death. I'm not afraid of anything.
My belief system, no, I won't go to hell. If I haven't learned the lessons that I was meant to learn this time around, I'll just come back here.
Yeah, I mean, to me, hell is what has been revealed to me as information, is that upon death, what ends up occurring is you live the hurts that you have done to anybody else as if you were them. You live the hurts that you passed on.
Mm-hmm.
And that, to me, is hell. You know, that is,
and it
that
doesn't
is a form
last
of
for
hell.
All eternity. And no, it happens no. in a heartbeat.
It comparatively, you know, because time doesn't exist there, right? So, I mean, it's just, it's there, it's done. You have a deep understanding of it. And through that, you grow as a soul, because now you have an understanding of people in a deeper, better way, essentially. So in the end, everything is basically balanced out.
Mm-hmm.
And if you take the original thoughts of hell, you know, the concepts that the Catholic Church came out with at first, that was actually the intention of hell to begin with, too. It was not an internal punishment. It was something that was done to bring people into a better understanding or to cleanse people, essentially. But it didn't last forever. But now the mythology has radically shifted into what we hear today. It's all based on the underworld. And, you know, me and Ryan Gable did a whole show on The Last Frequency last week about the underworld, and it turned out really interesting. But all of that stuff is all based upon the underworld. You know, the idea of hell is the ideas that were passed around in the Greco-Roman type of mythology of Hades and the underworld. That's what it's all derived from.
Then heaven would be the Elysian fields.
Precisely. So we have a few minutes left here, Joe. Is there anything that you want to say or talk about or focus on in the last bits of this show here?
The only thing that I need to focus on now is the same thing that we focus on at the end of every show that we do. We have talked about fear. We have exposed fear for what it is. We have brought it into the light of day, kicking and screaming, and watched it burn like a vampire. So, the best thing I can say at the end of our show is, do not be afraid. Be of good cheer, for this too shall pass. Don't be afraid, people. Do your own research. Look into things. And remember, there's really nothing out there to be afraid of. Turn and face your fears, face your darkness, put them in their place, and use the fear for what it is designed for, as an early warning system, and then move on.
Yeah, keep in mind what fear is there for. It is there as a warning. It is there as a mechanism to tell you that something is wrong. But you don't have to live in the fear. The fear is temporary. It's there as an object lesson. It's there to tell you that there is something that is going on that you need to pay attention to. And once you pay attention to it, you solve the problem. You know, I put things this way. A lot of people right now are worried about everything. You know, worry is just an aspect of fear. And if you are afraid, if you are worried, then do something about what you're worried about. And if you can't do anything about it, then stop worrying, because worrying is a waste of energy and it's a waste of time. It's not necessary. When you consume yourself with fear, you do not just damage to yourself bodily, but you do damage to yourself spiritually as well.
Definitely.
There is no reason to fear. Fear is there as the warning, and the best way to get fear to go away is to laugh at whatever you're afraid of. Laugh in its face. Get right up into its face and say, you got no power over me.
Mm-hmm. And if you can't do that, just relax.
As Bill Hicks puts it, it's just a ride.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is. It is just a ride. You're here for this moment in time and this moment in time only. You're not guaranteed to take another breath. So why worry? Why spend your moment being afraid? Own whatever it is that's going on in your life and be proud of it. Be happy of it. Be happy with who you are. And if you're not happy with who you are, change it. It's as simple as that. It's what it all comes down to. So, Joe, any final thoughts?
No. I think we've pretty much covered this one pretty much like a blanket. Just want to tell everybody, you know, have a great weekend. And have a great week until next time. From the Dungeon of Truth, it's Joe Long. See you next week.
Joe Long signing off. Guys, if you want to go to the show notes for this show, you can go to openeyesnetwork.com/BA007. I'm so used to doing my show. openeyesnetwork.com/BA007.
Do I need to get you cue cards
yes,
now?
Yes, you do. If you want to send us an email, you can send it to feedback@openeyesnetwork.com. If you want to go to the Facebook and Twitter feeds, you can go to Open Eyes Network or Ira Robinson at both of those. We both really love to have any kind of communication with you guys. We welcome anything and everything that you guys want to say, even you trolls. Hey, go for it. So on Friday, tomorrow, on Open Eyes, I'm going to cover the topic of ghosts and hauntings, and I think that you guys are going to have a really interesting time listening to it. And in the meantime, don't be afraid. Keep safe out there and have fun. And thank you all for listening.
Hallelujah! Holy shit! Where's the Tylenol?